The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Yeah, the house is indeed rocking. Anytime that Scotty Mack's in the house is going to be rocking. Rick Angies, this is Real Racing USA, of course, live on Tuesday night. Rick Angies is out sick. So we have ably in his place will be Scott McAllister. How you doing, Scott?
Barely able. Hey, man, it's great to be on here. You know Rick has got to be sick if he's missing Real Racing USA. First of all, never know you to miss. I've never really missed a race either, so, you know, he's really got to be tore down. But what's in the water down there? You guys are falling out left and right. How's Carol doing? Have you heard from her?
Yes, I talked to her just a little bit ago, and as a matter of fact, she was being released from the hospital, which is good news.
Excellent.
And she got a lot of tests and things she's got to do, but she's getting out tonight, as a matter of fact.
Fantastic. Hey, real quick, I did not get a chance last night. Of course, I've been thinking about it every night. We all, of course, want to send our condolences, my wife and I, especially to Jason and his entire family for the loss of, obviously, Dennis. But, you know, tragic loss there. And, you know, it seems like every year we lose somebody else. It's, you know, it's like, gosh, closer and closer to our own generation. And now you think about Dennis, all I could think about was him hunched over a race car, stuck up inside the race car working away when everybody else was talking and goofing around. And Dennis would be over there working away, quiet, just, you know, doing his own deal. And so, shame for that. And, of course, like I said, Sue and I want to,
yeah, that was a very, very tough thing there for the family.
But, you know, the first thing you'd say is get your butt out there and get racing. So that's of course, hopefully, that, you know, we can pick up and move on. And, man, moving on is Ocala Speedway. Talk about moving on. It's going on.
This week coming up, it is going to be, as I've been saying this all week, this is the biggest racing night of the owner Mike Peters' life. And Angie too, his wife Angie. It's got to be just out the, you know, over the top for those guys.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I tell you right now, it is raining. It's been raining here since about, I would say, I guess 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, it really came down hard, and it's still raining, pretty much steady downpour. And I looked on the radar, and it's pretty nasty green. So I got to think right now, Mike could be panicking.
Yeah, there's a little bit. I have it up here right in front of me, and it's. Yeah, as a matter of fact, a little bit further south along Tampa, I guess they're getting what you guys got a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all, I got to think Mike's probably panicking. It's easy for us to say don't, but, you know, I think that obviously the track will have plenty of time to dry. They're calling for excellent weather throughout the entire weekend. So it's just going to be, it's going to be a tremendous show. We're all excited about it up here, that's for sure. Mike's got the entire community involved. So it's big for him as far as, just as a race fan, and then it's big for him business-wise, too. So, you know, he's putting it all out there. Believe me, he is putting it all on the line.
Well, and that's why we're taking this entire Real Racing USA show here on Tuesday, February the 26th. We're just talking about Ocala and dirt.
And dirt, you know, and that's the whole thing. It's just the entire dirt atmosphere in general. I had to tell you, honestly, after going to the show, I had a friend of mine, Brad Atkins. He's gone up to North Carolina. He's working for a truck team. Always told me about dirt, man. Dirt is the way to be. It's much better. Da, 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 da. And, of course, I'd been to a couple of dirt races in my life, never really understood it, and I just saw a lot of cars. I mean, they were flying. They were going fast. But, you know, since I was able to go down to East Bay and do the Winter National shows down there, I was quickly indoctrinated into the world of dirt racing, and I'm here to tell you, It's a show like no other. And if you get a chance, no matter where you are, first of all, go check out your local dirt short track. Believe me, if you can, if you think you've been to Daytona and you think you've seen the granddaddy of them all, go to your local short track, dirt short track, and there you will see real racing and really what it should be, what it is, and, you know, what real racing is all about.
And listen to me, race fans. This is all coming from a man who a year ago didn't want to have nothing to do with dirt.
I had nothing to do. I knew nothing, and I still don't know anything. And maybe that's part of, that's also part of the entire dirt thing that I'm going through now, the entire evolution, I should say, is that there is, you know, a lot of mystery left in there. And, you know, I look at that car and I go like, man, I don't know how this works. And it does give you a little bit of that mystery behind it, unlike asphalt racing where we've been inundated on, you know, through speed or whatever type of, you know, whatever type of media you choose to find out everything you ever want to know about every race car driver and what they wore and what they grew up in and how they adjust their cars and COTs and trucks and, you know, and yet over here in the dirt racing, they just plod along and they've been doing their deal. And man, you know, they came into town over in East Bay, and like I said, to somebody like me, it was all foreign. It really was. I didn't know these drivers. I knew a couple of them. You know, I knew that Clint Bowyer owned a car out there. I knew who Steve Francis was, but, you know, Joey Saldana, I knew who he was. But man, when you go out there and see it in person, it's just really, first, it's unbelievable. It's just when you see one car go around the track.
Right.
Like, wow,
exactly.
That's not really working. That's not supposed to happen. And then you put 24 or 26 of them out there, and man, you're talking about unbelievable action, and it's just nonstop. So if you're a real race fan, you really got to love it because, man, intermission, you forget about it. I mean, it's short. They got one, but, man, it's short, you know. And practice, there's no, you know, you don't show up at 12 o'clock and practice from 12 until 5.
And Scotty, you remember?
Qualify. It's full bore.
You remember years ago, we all used, me and you and some other people, we used to sit around and we were always wringing our hands trying to figure out, why are the big sponsors, why are the dirt tracks being able to get these big sponsors and for these big dollar events, and they can't seem to get those as much for the asphalt races? Remember that? We used to try to figure out what's the deal here? Well, I think it's obvious now what the deal is.
You know, I told those guys with the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series when they came down, and to me, once again, and I say this in a relative term, and I don't mean any disrespect towards anybody. It shows my own ignorance, to be honest with you. I thought that, you know, I knew about racing, to be honest with you. And then you realize, wow, there's a whole other world going on over here. And really, to be honest with you, I told those guys, I said, your biggest problem that y'all are going to have is when this does blow up, and it's going to, is keeping the corporate, you know, dollars. They don't dictate the entire racing industry. And you know, trying to keep it at a level like it is right now, and
Sure. Keeping
it just under the radar. Like I say, they have a cult following, albeit huge. I mean, but you know, these people came from West Virginia, from Iowa. We had people from Canada. I mean, Alaska, Washington, you name it. They were out there, and I couldn't believe that, you know, they came down like that to East Bay Raceway Park to do that kind of, you know, to be involved in that kind of that level of racing. But, and it was all month long. I mean, it was all month long. So I, you know, you look at that and you think about Ocala and once again, the excitement that Mike has generated, with the local racing community. And then of course he's done his homework and he's done his, you know, he's put his nose to the grindstone. He's gone out and you know, worked with the community here and said, hey, here's what we're doing. Come be a part of it. And he's worked himself, you know, hard. And that's what you got to do. And he certainly, you know, has taken what he feels is the best from each of the tracks that, you know, he went and visited throughout the year and throughout his experience and kind of took the best of what he saw. And he's trying to incorporate that into his track. So, yeah, he's puckered, brother. He's puckered.
Yeah, it's the biggest. It will be the biggest at this point. It'll be the biggest race night of his life. And now, tonight, as I said, we're going to be covering this the whole deal is all about Ocala, and it's also about the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. So tonight we're going to have promoter Ken Kenny in the second hour, and we're going to find everything there is, Scotty, about what makes this man tick, because this will be his first race at Ocala, this obviously on dirt, but he's been doing this for about a year and a half, 2 years, and he's been very successful. And also we're going to talk to Tyler Ivey. He's from Tallahassee, right?
Yeah,
Tallahassee.
He had a great showing in East Bay, and that's what I want to ask him about. You know, and it's cool to have these drivers once again. North Florida driver from Tallahassee,
yep.
Me personally, dude, I've never heard of him in my life, you know, and so it'd be cool to have him on and see about Tyler Ivey and who he is and where he's from and all that kind of information.
Yeah, and then there's we're going to talk to 15-year-old Evan Becton, who Ken Kenny is very high on this young man, and he was, I guess he was the champion at up in Douglas, Georgia, or Douglasville, somewhere up there. Anyway, we're going to talk to Evan. Ken Kenny says he's a kid on the move. And then we might as well just get right started, because when this all comes out, there's going to be a guy having – somebody always has to write the stories and do the media. And in this case, it's B.J. Cavan from Ocala Speedway.
Hey,
BJ.
Jack, what is up?
BJ, it's good to have you on the show. Scott McAllister, along with Jack Smith, Real Racing USA. Man, you got to be jacked up. I know I am. Ocala, this is going to be something like they have never witnessed before here, or not in a long time, I should say.
I got to tell you, this has got to be possibly the biggest race ever held at Ocala Speedway. Somebody made the statement to me a little bit earlier today that, you know, we're just a little fish in a big pond, but, hey, the big fish are talking about us now.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are, you know, and that's exactly right. And you know, I think it's good to be, you know, however you want to do that, however you want to word that. But once again, I think it's like you said, Mike stepped up to the plate. So, man, they're talking about us.
And BJ, you got to remember, little fish grow up to be big fish.
That's right.
You got to start somewhere, you know, that's for sure. And Mike has taken the ultimate step of how many loads of dirt did they dump out there?
I believe
360
or something like that.
Yeah, 360 loads of dirt, and I remember when, you know, I was there, and after they had laid probably, I guess, 20 or 30, and I thought, man, you got a ways to go. And slowly but surely, man, I mean, it was a process, but unbelievable. Hey, you were out there watching that. I know, BJ, tell me about what that looked like.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. I was out there when the very first load of dirt came in. I had a camera out there, took some pictures that we posted online, and I remember some of the comments that were made by people when they saw the pictures of those first loads of dirt going on that speedway. There were a lot of unsure people. There were all kind of rumors flying around. Oh, the first time it rains, all that dirt's going to wash right off of that track and all this other stuff. And, of course, none of that has come to pass. First practice comes along, we have 153 cars. Second practice comes along, we have another 100 cars. There is no telling what's going to be there on Friday night. Last I heard, we had 52 late models confirmed. I have no clue how many hobby stocks, but there's going to be a mess of them. I hope the pits are big enough. If not, we need to do something about that chain link fence in the back there.
I told you, man, we'll just run to the cattle deal that they got going on over there. Maybe we can auction some stuff off too the same night.
Yeah, really, that might work.
Yeah, it's going to be packed in there. Telling everybody, man, you got to get there early. You got to get there early. That's the whole thing.
Oh, most definitely. You know, I have a feeling that just getting in there and getting a seat is going to be a problem. Now, Ocala Speedway, I think, will seat a little over 2,000 people. And
I mean, I didn't think it'd hold much more than 2,500.
And I
could pack them in there.
And, BJ, put us on the map here, because there's people that listen to this show from all over. Put Ocala on the map for us.
Well, here's the thing. When this off-season hit, the one thing, when Mike came to me and said, would you handle my media? I said, sure. The one thing I want to try and gain for Ocala Speedway is a little bit of name recognition. You can walk around in Marion County and run into people all day long when you're wearing an Ocala Speedway T-shirt, and they look at your T-shirt and they say, Ocala Speedway, there's a racetrack here?
That's exactly right. Yep.
So you've got to get the word out. And what I've tried to do all through the off season is go online, use the internet, and build some connections. I created a MySpace for Ocala Speedway. It now has over 500 friends, and that friends list is still growing. Those people are racers from all over the country, both dirt and asphalt. Ocala Speedway is becoming an easily recognized name. You know, one of the things that I always notice is if you go just about anywhere in the country and you mention Volusia or East Bay, people know where those tracks are. They may have never been there, but they know where those tracks are. They know what you're talking about. And I tried to create the same thing for Ocala Speedway.
Yeah, I mean, you got to brand. It's just, as you said, you know, these people have branded themselves into a position where that, you know, they're an institution, and obviously Mike looking to do the same thing. The cool thing, you know, as Jack alluded to, the one good thing about Ocala Speedway is, man, it's right off the interstate, right off I-75, so it's so easy to get to.
Right, right. It's actually right there smack in between two major north-south arteries. It's just as close to I-75 as it is to 441-301. So you can
there you go
either way. If you come off of 40, say you're coming from the Daytona area, coming up 40, you just hit 326, cut right across, and you're there. So you can't miss the place. It's very centrally located.
An hour from South Georgia.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's from anywhere in Florida, with the exception of maybe Miami, you can get there fairly quickly. That's the great thing about it. And a lot of people going north and south to different races and different places, with Ocala Speedway running on Friday night, it makes us a great stopping off point.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is not only is it close right off the interstate, easy to get to, but Mike and Angie have also made a lot of improvements there at the track that, you know, makes the visit a lot better, too. I know, once again, we talk about it everywhere. They've done a lot of work to the bathrooms in there. I know they've worked hard on the food and the concession area, and I know they've worked hard where the kids' play area is, so they put a lot of effort into the extraneous, you know, the intangibles there at the racetrack as well.
Well, for the people that have never been to Ocala Speedway, I keep telling them, you know, this was a gem of a racetrack before Mike and Angie ever got a hold of it. The previous owners had made a lot of improvements.
Absolutely.
They had put in some nice aluminum grandstands, a nice scoring tower. They put in the beautiful Musco lighting system, a top-of-the-line sound system, and Scott has to know about this sound system. The thing is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And what anything you can do with it. I mean, it really turns into entertainment with this sound system they have in there. And you take all these things and you put them together and you take that location, and, man, what a nice facility we've got at Ocala Speedway. It is awesome.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Jack, we were talking about that earlier, as you said. How do these people get these corporate dollars at a dirt track when other people aren't? And I think it's because, and Ocala has this too, they have a fan base that's built in already.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that now that they are seeing that this change is actually, like I call it, back to the future, I think that you're going to even see more, you know, of what they had already built in.
Well, Scotty, other than say the NASCAR top ranks of NASCAR, there's nothing. I mean, you look at not just late models, dirt late models, but the sprint cars too. I mean, these people are like nomads. They follow it around. You put on a big late model race at Ocala, for instance, on asphalt. And even if you got a bunch of cars, you get 35 cars show up, still almost all the people are going to be from around the area. They're not going to be from that far away. You put on a big dirt race, these people come from all over, and the fans come from all over. I mean,
and you know, BJ, you can talk about this because I heard him talking about it last night. Yes, the Powell Memorial will be run on dirt, and
yes,
I'm here to tell you that race, too, I think will draw people from across the country, and I mean top names.
Absolutely.
Right here,
we're talking about the exact same racing series is going to be doing the Powell Memorial. And look at what we've got coming to this race. You can imagine what the Powell Memorial is going to be like.
Exactly, because we'll already be geared up for it by then. And as you said, you know, through the promotions that you've already done and then continuing promotions throughout the year, it's going to be an unbelievable race. And, you know, and then we also have some of the other series coming in as well. You know, Mike has brought in The monster trucks, they're going to be there. The AMA dirt bikes, they're going to be there the following, that Sunday, I think they're going to be there. Is that right, BJ?
Right. Sunday and Monday, the flat track motorcycle racing hits Ocala Speedway. So if anybody's coming into town, you know, to check out this race,
hey,
send your reservation. Because
is that at night?
Because, you know, Saturday and Sunday arrive.
Is that,
I mean, Jack, did you know that they were going to have these AMA bikes?
Well, I was curious. Is that Saturday night and Sunday afternoon?
No, it's Sunday and Monday.
Sunday evening and all day on Monday.
Well, I'll tell you, there'll already be a ton of motorcycle fans in the area because that same weekend is that they got that all Harley drag deal. They open up in Gainesville, their deal.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those trucks leaving Don Gartlett's place the other day, as a matter of fact. Those things are awesome, man. I know y'all talk about those guys, and you got a show, man. Those things, if you get out, go see those all Harley things.
Crazy people.
Guys, unbelievable.
Crazy people, man.
Yeah, they are crazy, along with these dirt people, because, you know, and that's what, BJ, I was talking about down in East Bay. These guys, I mean, it is just heat race after heat race after heat race, and they race all the way back. And, you know, I have called a lot of asphalt races. I mean, I keep all the little, you know, the little wristbands that you have, and literally I got thousands of them. But when I got out there and I started calling these, man, I bowed down to these announcers, and I have a new respect for Bill Green and all these dirt announcers, because I would look down and say, you know, this driver, and by the time I looked down to see where he was from, dude, he got freight trained. I mean, there was like six cars blowing by him. And then you look down to see where that guy's from, and it's too late because he got freight trained. I mean, they'll swap positions four or five times in one lap, and it is an incredible, just the entire performance is unbelievable. And, I mean, it almost looks choreographed. It's like, you got to be kidding me, man. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, something we were talking about the other day, it's really kind of funny, is we were comparing Ocala Speedway as an asphalt track to a dirt track. And, you know, Mike was talking to someone, and he said, you know, when they come through this turn right here, they're going to be 3 and 4 wide. He said, it's awful funny, this same turn on asphalt, running front to back, these guys couldn't keep from running all over each other. And these guys will come through on dirt, sideways, 3 and 4 wide, and they won't even touch each other.
And they won't lift. They won't lift the doggone throttle, man. They won't crack that thing, and it's just, I don't know, maybe it, and once again, I don't profess to know, and that's part of the cool thing about it, is I don't know, and that, you know, I like that about it, is I want to go see for myself, and I want to go see how they run this at Ocala, and, you know, are they going to be 3 wide coming out of 4? Because, man, it's just as you said, you know, 3 usually, been turn 3 meant, dude, you got to get in single file formation, otherwise you better have a car that will stick, because you're going up the track. Nowadays, it's just like you said, they're going to be 3 wide through there.
Yeah, and something that I found out from the practices, you know, when you're practicing, these guys are basically lining up. There's not a whole lot of passing going on and stuff like that. But some of them got out there and got a little bit side-by-side. There's definitely more than one groove. You're going to find that a lot of the drivers, as soon as they come out of 4, they stop the gas, and they do not release it until they get all the way back around to the scoreboard going into 3. Unbelievably, that's what they're doing. I can tell you right now that from the look of it, a lot of these cars are actually faster on this new clay at Ocala than they were on the asphalt.
And incredible.
That's true with the sprints. When the sprints come in, you will see it.
Oh, boy.
We just unofficially timed some of the sprints out there in practice, and they were blowing away the times that the TBARA sprints used to put on Ocala Speedway.
And, man, those cars were literally unbelievable themselves. I mean, when they showed up, that was, you know, you looked at those and thought, oh, my word. And now, it's like you said, these guys come out there, and I think they're going to blow that away.
Yeah, and they're running on 3 wheels, kicking it through turn 2. And it's like, I couldn't drive one of those things. I'll tell you right now, there's no way I could do it.
When I saw it, I told those guys that, you know, caster and camera doesn't mean a whole bunch when your front tires never touch the ground. You know, I mean, there was one guy there, you know, Terry English. This guy's wheels never touched. Dude, they never touched the ground, period. I was like, you drove the whole race on 2 wheels. I don't understand.
Hey, guess, you know, Scott, we've been talking to these folks from the AMP Dirt Late Model Series out in Arkansas. They race in Arkansas, Mississippi, and a little bit in Texas. And Christy Hudson has been a promoter, and she's another ball of fire, and she did this to revitalize dirt racing out there. And so we've been talking to a lot of those dirt drivers from out that zone, and we were talking to this guy a few weeks ago, and we were asking him about the chassis, and that's where we were joking about that last night, the various chassis builders, and he right. straightened us out on that whole deal. And then we were talking about the tire thing, and the deal is you don't want your tires off the ground.
Exactly, but you know what from what I gather, I guess there's two schools of thought, and one is, you know, you need to have all four tires on the ground. Obviously, as I'm used to it, contact patch kind of means a lot. But I guess the other school of thought is you'll go to some of those guys and they say no. You know, when you see those cars doing that, that means they're really hooked up. So you got, from what I saw, it's a limited view. You know, you got some people that say, no, dude, that means I'm hooked up. And then you have some people that say, no, I like all four of my tires on the ground. So I'm not sure. And I think that's the cool part about it is you'll come out there and see some guys that, it's like I said, they touch the tires down going through the turns to basically turn the car. And then after that, the left front never touches the ground ever.
Yeah, and Alan Tippin was talking to us. He said it's a little odd when the tire's up in the air. He's been racing dirt along 15 years or something. He said it's a little weird when the tire comes up off the ground, but he says it's even weirder when it has to come back down. He says it's rough.
I mean, you got to think about it. I said, where do you look at? You're looking like up in the air. And he goes, well, you look out the driver's window. I was like, okay, that's insane. That's insane. And then I said, oh, and the other question I was asking Beach was, I was like, where do the spotters stand at? They laugh, and of course they got that. And I was like, well, there's no radios in here, and they laugh. And so, you know, it's all those kind of things. It's like, no, they got guys over in the corner that have their hands going, you know, you're this far away or this far away, and that's it. So how is that going to happen over at Ocala? Have y'all discussed that as far as where those guys are going to stand, how that works?
No, we actually hadn't even talked about it. At least I haven't been involved in those conversations, but I'm sure they'll have it figured out by Friday night. Otherwise, there's going to be some problems.
No, I'm sure they will, and I'm sure every track has their own little unique way of doing it. And once again, you're talking to somebody who really just doesn't know, and that's...
Well, we got a list here. I think you got... did you get... You got the latest list of new entries, right, BJ? Has, David Schmoss on it, and Jeff Matthews, and Dennis Williams, and Johnny Allen. You got that, right?
It goes on and on and on, and it's like these guys keep ringing the phone off the hook. It's like... okay, when are they going to stop? I have a feeling we're going to have some that are just going to show up on Friday that we weren't even expecting.
So what is the schedule now on Friday for people coming into the races?
Okay, well, the schedule, as I understand it right now, is that the pit gate will be open at either 1 or 2. I'm not sure about that. I would have to check with Mike on that one. But I'm sure there'll be teams getting there earlier. I mean, you know how that works. I'm sure there'll be some wanting to come in there on Thursday night. And then the grandstands will actually open at 5 o'clock. Now, you'll have from 5 till 8 to get yourself in there and plant yourself on a piece of aluminum and hopefully don't lose it.
Racing starts at 8?
Racing starts at 8. So, you know, it's going to give people plenty of time to get in there, get situated, figure out where they're going and what's going on. Going to have a lot of new faces there that have never been to Ocala Speedway. So going to be some people that are a little bit lost and trying to figure out what's going on.
And lots of racing.
I'll be one of them, man. Believe me.
Lots of racing. B-mains, actually heat races, 10-lap heat races, I guess.
Yeah, I can say there'll be. Will there be any qualifying there, BJ? Will they qualify?
Well, you know something, I talked to Mike not that long ago, and Mike said, well, we've seen the last qualifying on time at Ocala Speedway. It's boring. And I got to agree with him.
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, I would much rather see these guys race for a position in the main event than anything else. And then it's like last man standing when you put those final 26 cars out there on the track for the main event.
And we'll be talking, as I said earlier, we'll be talking to Ken Kenny in the second hour, and he'll straighten us out on all that. He told me, he gave me the rundown yesterday if there were over 50 cars, and it was lots of heat races and in A mains or B mains and all leading up to it. There's a couple of provisionals from that are going to be awarded, but pretty much you got to make the feature.
Yeah,
you got to love that about dirt racing, man. Because it's like I said, you got to get up on the wheel. There's there's no owner's point. you don't get in that way. You know, they got a couple provisionals, but to be honest with you, those guys are usually already up front anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, everybody gets to race. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's just nonstop, unbelievable, chaotic, just extreme racing. And you will see. I guarantee you, it will come down to the last lap and the last turn. Guaranteed.
It always does. It always does in a dirt race. It is never over until it is over.
And the cool thing, BJ, is that what I saw is they race all the way through the field. I mean, these guys, even the guys that aren't transferring, they're still racing. You'd think, dude, save your car, park it. You know, it's over with. You're not transferring. No. They stay out there and just keep digging.
So did Mike get some big fire hoses for them aluminum grandstands?
Man, I tell you what.
It may take it. It may take it.
This is going to be – I don't think anybody's going to sit down all night, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think there's any use to the seats whatsoever, to be honest.
Well, you know, they quickly tell you in dirt, you know, that they sit down. They go, man, people in asphalt racing, they stand up, you know. So people in dirt racing, oddly enough, they do sit down until the last couple of laps, man, or in any heat race or in every race, it seems like. They're all up on their feet then, because you can't help but to stand up. I mean, because it comes down to the wire.
Yes, it does. And you never can tell. I've seen a guy get a run coming out of a final turn and just blow away a couple of cars and take the win, you know. So it's not like racing on asphalt where you pretty much know who's going to win it a couple of laps from the end.
Yeah, and that's exactly your example. Exactly right, man. That's what I would see. All of a sudden, you'd look up with a couple laps to go. You would see this car, and he's kind of setting himself up, and you're thinking, yeah, but he's four cars way back, man. There's no way. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he never lifts, and here he comes flying. You're like, man, you got to be kidding me. This guy's, I mean, he's hit the rocket button, and he's flying past the whole field, and then he come off four, and they just don't lift. And then it's just side-by-side. It's just a drag race off of four, and it's three wide, four wide action. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Scotty, I think what we're going to do here is it's getting up to be about break time, and then we're going to come back. BJ, hey, when we come back, BJ, you got to turn on your computer there because we're going to be talking to Tyler Ivey and Evan Becton, and then in the second hour, Ken Kenny. I told Scott earlier, we want to know everything there is to know about what drives this guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he is definitely an interesting character. You're going to have a lot of fun with him.
All right. Scotty, you hang on right where you are. And BJ,
right,
we'll see you Friday early.
Early Friday. Yeah, I will be there bright and early Friday morning. It's going to be a long day for me.
Yeah, we're going to be up there, probably get up there around noonish ourselves. So we'll see you then, man.
All right. Take it easy, Jack. Talk to you later, man.
All right. All right, Scott, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. I guess we're going to come back with Evan Becton and talk to him, see what's up going on there.
Yeah, four. Sounds good. We'll talk to that young man.
This is Logan Ruffin, driver of the Torco Chevrolet Monte Carlo on O'Reilly ASA Fastlane on Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh! Mr. Bathroom Stall Duty Joe Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star race car bodies. 5-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com. All righty, and we are back here with Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. And if all the electronics have worked right, Scott, I think we're hooked up with Evan Becton.
Evan is here. Evan, good to have you here on Real Racing USA.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Yeah, so
Evan was telling me, 15-year-old youngster out of Valdosta, Georgia.
Valdosta. So where do you race up there?
We race at North Florida, Douglas, and Golden Isles mainly.
Yeah, those are some good tracks. What kind of results did you have last year?
We finished second in points in Douglas, and then on North Florida Speedway, we came in sixth. And rookie of the year and fan favorite.
Well, there you
fan
go.
Favorite. Oh, you got to love it. You know why? Because he's a good looking kid, man. Everybody loves that. That's always a good deal.
Thank you.
No, and it helps when you run up front, too, man. That's always a big thing.
So now you're
coming down here to Ocala, Evan. You're coming down here to Ocala. I mean, you've heard some of the rumors about some of the people that are coming down.
There's going to be some big things there.
So tell me how you feel, man. You're going to be out there, I mean, with some pretty big names. But really, to be honest with you, you know, that's what I found out a little bit. I know is that's the cool thing about dirt racing is it seems like literally everybody's going to have their shot.
Yeah, it's going to be a good race and ready to see what happens.
Have you ever seen the track out here before at Ocala?
Yeah, we went and practiced the first practice night they had on the 2nd of February.
And so what did you think about it?
It's a fast racetrack. Looks like it's a bunch of fun.
And so do you think that it's going to be 2-3 wide race in there? Do you think it's capable of that on the very first night out?
Yeah, I believe so, because it's a fast racetrack and it's a top-notch place.
We're getting all pumped up now, man. You're telling us, so now we're hearing it from a real race car driver. It's like, okay, now I'm feeling better.
Evan, what'd you think about turn four?
Turn four? It's a little tight. I like turn one and two the best. That's where all the speed is.
So is that like BJ was saying, do you after you come off four, you just mat it all the way around so you get around the back?
Practically all the way to turn three. And
woo! Yeah, that's going to be a party over there. Holy smoke, man. Yeah, they're going to be coming off that turn, and that's just going to be unbelievable. Now, Evan, you told me, obviously, you started off racing karts up there. Back when you were 6 years old, where'd you start off racing those at?
We started off in Jasper, Florida.
Jasper, Florida. Come on, man. And, you know, karts, once again, another big deal, man. Tell me how that went for you. And once again, I mean, that's a steep level of competition right there.
Yeah, we all won over about 100 feature wins.
How many? 100?
Over 100.
Jeez.
Yeah, we still got all the trophies, too.
And that's a lot of racing. That's a lot of racing right there. And then you step from that into what?
A late model.
So, see, that's what I mean. You know, and Rob was talking about that last night, Jack, about, dude, it's harder to drive the carts than it is a doggone late model as an asphalt car.
Exactly.
I'm not sure about dirt cars, but he was saying, you know, that's why he went over to an asphalt car, because it was too hard.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I don't know. I like this dirt so far.
And so, literally, so you jump in from the cart into one of these, and they're beasts, man. I mean, these things are beasts. When you see them coming around the corner, I mean, how did it feel making that transition?
It was a big difference. About 500-something horses more. So,
So when you met, and that's the cool thing about these cars is when they get in, they can really get themselves out of trouble too. A lot of, they don't get bogged down, and so you're able to mass that thing and really come up off the turn. So if you do make a little bit of a mistake, these cars have the power to pull up off there and kind of battle back, it seems like.
Yeah, like a driver, he can make a bad car a good car in one of these things.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the level of competition, once again, just from the beginning to the end of the field, I mean, it's cool because it's not separated by how much money you spend. It's separated by, you know, how much you work on your car and you know, how good the driver is.
So, Evan, let me ask you the dumb question here. when your left front wheel comes up off the ground, do you look out the window out front or you look out the side window?
Oh, I don't know where I look. I'm just smashing the gas.
Wait, man, you're pointed up in the air, Evan. You're wait a second. I got to ask, because literally in asphalt racing, once again, contact patch kind of means a lot, but obviously in dirt racing, it you kind of throw that out the window. Dude, you're pointing up in the air. You're looking up at the moon. How do you drive the doggone thing?
It was weird my first time when my left front came off the ground.
Yeah, I would have to say that's a little weird. And then like Jack says, you got to come back down too.
You got to come back down sometime.
And so in your mind, when you guys race, when you see that, does that mean anything to you? Do you go like, man, that car's flying? Or are you the kind of guys that say, no, four wheels on the ground makes you go faster? Or you guys just think that, no, man,
I like to keep all four wheels on the ground, but that left front, I wouldn't mind it being like a couple inches off the ground, but I don't like it raised up like a lot of people do.
Well, you know, Jack, I'm telling you, man, that's what people hear, and for 10 years now in Ocala, they haven't seen that. Before they did.
That's right.
You know, they haven't seen it, and man, I get goosebumps thinking about it because you guys, and Evan, you're one of, y'all be battling three wide, man, down that back straightaway. And y'all just don't lift. You don't lift. You just keep digging in there.
Yeah, it's going to be some hard racing out there.
Now, when you raced all the races pretty much up at Douglas?
We missed a couple.
Yeah.
We didn't run all of them.
But you were going after the championship.
Well, yeah, we were trying to.
Yeah.
We just came up a little bit short.
What's that track up there like? What kind of track? What is it? Georgia Clay?
Yeah, this is Georgia clay. It's just red. It's a fast racetrack. It's a big place.
And what kind of clay is this down here, Evan? Is this different clay down here at Ocala Speedway?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of clay that is. It's just white.
It's kind of white looking, isn't it? Yeah, and that's what I saw. I was like, well, that's a little bit different, but obviously, I guess the color hadn't really mattered, and that's why I was asking what it felt like, and I was thinking, but what do I know?
That car had on track had a lot of bite to it when we went over there on the second.
Yeah, and how many cars were over there practicing when you went?
I think they said like 20 something late models. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so that
the whole place was packed with cars.
Jeez, that, you know, and once again, Evan, we're all new to this here in Ocala, or it's coming back around after 10 years. Our track has been paved here, so. The excitement is really built, and we're so glad to have you guys come in here and put on, like I say, a show that I believe will be like no other these people have seen in a long, long time.
Evan, you're coming to a show that they're going to be talking about for a long, long time in the South.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It's going to be fun.
I mean, yeah, and the cool thing about it is, like I said, man, you're out there with, and I'm not sure, have you had a chance to race with people like Ivident Lloyd and some of the other people that you've seen on the list?
Yeah, I've raced with them, a few of them.
So, see, there you go. I mean, and as usual, Jack, you know, these kids, they don't care, man. They're ready. They'll get out there with anybody.
Just Ivident Lloyd, no big deal.
I know. It's like, they just got there and run. But once again, you know, the cool thing about dirt is everybody's got a shot. You know, you can come up to the C mains, B mains, and once again, Evan, like I say, you have to excuse us because it's all so new to us here, you know, of seeing a car that's able to come up. You don't have owner's points, you know, there's no getting in on, you know, everybody has to get, they got to race their way.
Yeah, there's no giving to it.
And then the other cool thing I want to ask, and your race team, how many people come with you and how many people work on the car?
It depends. We bring a few people some night and Probably about 3 or 4 people work on
the car. And do you work on the car, too?
Yeah, I work on the car. That's the fun part about racing, too.
See, a lot of asphalt drivers, man, they don't do that.
Yeah. I like to work on the race car. You get a lot.
Is your shop right there at your house?
It's right in the backyard.
Did 10-4. That makes it so nice, man, when you can just go right back there and work on it whenever you want to.
Is that what you were doing when I called earlier today? You were out working on the car?
Yes, sir. I was in the back getting ready for this weekend.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let her eat. Hey, tell me about your race car, man. What kind of car is it? I know that's always a big deal. We don't know. I can tell you asphalt chassis, but dirt chassis, I don't know. Is it a CJ Rayburn? Is it a Rocket, Mastersville? Rocket chassis. And those guys, where are they located out of?
I think West Virginia or somewhere.
West Virginia,
there.
Okay.
That's right. They know how to do it in the hillbilly state, man.
Yeah, they do. And your motor builder, where did you get that piece from?
Wildcat Performance Engines up here in Adel, Georgia.
There you go. Adel, Georgia. Man, I've gone through there a couple of times. Holy smoke. And some of the other tracks. Tell me about some of the other tracks you've been to dirt racing.
We mainly just travel 3 tracks. Last year. This year, we're going to travel a lot more. We're going to run the FDMCS series this year.
Yes, that's obviously got to be exciting for you. Man, that was always exciting to me with the traveling series. You got to go to different tracks and meet other people and see how they run. So, obviously, going to be an exciting time for you guys.
It's going to be fun. I'm ready to go to that asphalt track and try it out.
No, man, no. Stay in the dirt.
Well, you mean down there in Valdosta, South Georgia Motorsports Park?
Go again?
Where are you going asphalt racing?
Asphalt racing? I believe it's Charlotte County.
Oh, Punta Gorda.
What are you going to do down there?
That series got a race there.
Like the ASA?
No, the...
You're saying they're going to put the dirt cars on there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. At the end of the year, Ken Kenny's series, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, races at the end of the year, they're racing on asphalt down at Charlotte County. That's right. That's right.
That'd be cool for you guys. Well, that'd be good. But, yeah, just remember, stay over on this side, man. Now that I've come over here, that asphalt stuff. No, I'm just kidding, man. Yeah. Definitely, Bobby Deal, you'll like that track down there too, man. You can definitely do some hardcore racing down there. Would that be your first time on the asphalt?
We raced asphalt a little bit in go-karts, but we mainly stayed on dirt.
Right.
You'll love it down at Bobby's track, man. Plus, he'll treat you right, too. Good guy.
Right.
He works hard down there. But, yeah, you'll get a good crowd down there, too, man. They'll pack it in for you guys. That's exciting, man.
Evan, do you know Tyler Ivey?
Tyler Ivey, yes, I do.
Yep. Well, that's who we're going to talk to just here in a few minutes. We're going to – he's up around Tallahassee. He's waiting on us to call him now, as a matter of fact.
That's Tyler.
Yeah. All right.
He's a good guy. Yeah, we saw him down at East Bay. He was running hard down there. Well, Evan, man, we sure do appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you here at Ocala. We'll follow you. Real quick, got a website anywhere people can check out your information?
Check out my website, www.evanbecton.com.
BECTON.com.
TEN?
BECTON. Evan Becton.
Oh, TON. Okay.
Yeah, TON. So, yeah, check it out on the website. Follow me throughout the race season. Evan, thanks for coming on Real Racing USA.
I thank all my sponsors first.
10-4, come on.
On Farmer's Supply Company of Valdosta with all your livestock needs. Supply of Georgia with all your heavy equipment needs. And J&M Diesel Repair with all your heavy equipment work.
Come on. Man, Evan, you got it down, brother. Holy smokes. Like I say, just remember to stay over here on the dirt side.
We will. Hey, Evan, we will talk to you on Friday, man, and can't wait.
All right.
Yeah, we'll look you up down there in the pits, man.
All right, thank you.
Evan Becton out of Valdosta, Georgia, right here on Race to USA. Jack, I tell you, man, there's a youngster, but the cool thing about this is, man, you see some 50-year-old drivers out here, too, 60-year-old drivers.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the cool thing.
Oh, yeah. We're coming back with Tyler Ivey. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Strimmy, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
God want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you, thank
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rudiman, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
That's right. Every Wednesday night here on Real Racing USA, we talk to the drivers from actually, we get two shows on Wednesday night. One is Straight Line with Stevie at 8 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock, the ASA Fast Lane. And Scotty, you know, it is all, after all, it is all about the drivers when it really comes down to it. They're the ones who put on the show. And I know we have one on the line with us now that people are talking about because he brings excitement to the track always. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. How you doing there, Scotty?
Real good. You know, Tyler and I were talking off the air for a second. You know, something I didn't I was expecting Tyler to say, no, man, I'm not from Florida. I'm from way off. But from Tallahassee, Florida, born and bred driver right here in Tallahassee. So once again, you think you know a lot about racing, and here you go. Here's a driver who's been driving since Tyler told me, I don't know, it's some unbelievable early age. And, you know, he started off, and now he's been racing. How long have you been racing late models, Tyler?
This will be my 3rd year in a late model.
And so, man, you went out there to East Bay. Obviously, like I said, I don't know, you may have done this a few times. But man, you're out there. But let's see, what classes did you run out there?
I ran the super late model for a full week, and then I came back with the open wheel modified and ran it that last weekend.
And man, you were out there, and I have to say, for, I mean, to me, local guy, once again, I don't know, and dirt racing seems to be able to, you'd be able to compete with those guys a little bit more competitively, so I guess, than in asphalt racing. But man, you were out there racing with literally the best guys in the country and had a great show, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, you go out there and there's definitely no slouches out there, and you just get better when you run with guys that have been doing it for their whole life, and they do it as their job. So that's the way I look at it.
I mean, that's how they eat. So, you know, I mean, that goes a long way. So, but I mean, literally, that's, you know, in dirt racing, I mean, you have people like Don. These are in asphalt racing. You know, at 25 years old, you're kind of old. And but out here, man, you got 50-year-old men out here still racing. Don O'Neill and all. Billy Moyer, he's not young anymore either, and they're out there, and you were out there competing just as hard as those guys were.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys, they've been racing longer than I've been alive, so it's a little bit challenging. They know everything about their car, and we're just getting started. This was our first year in a super late model, and it's a whole different world. But, you know, choose from 15 different tires, and I mean, it's a different game than what I've been used to.
So tell me about your crew, and once again, as you, when you go into one of these races, like you said, you know, once again, as an asphalt, everything to me, you know, comes from an asphalt world. You guys, I mean, you got several tires you choose from, and you know, in regards to hardness, I guess, or how does that work?
Oh yeah, well, it depends on what kind of series you run, but whenever we were in Brunswick, the last couple nights was an open tire rule, and you can run, you know, probably 15 different combinations, and you got to have at least 40 tires mounted and ready to go because you don't know how fast the track's going to change or anything
right.
like that.
How many?
I mean, you got to be up on that stuff, and you got to know, and that was when, you know, I mean, at East Bay, they started talking about whipping out the tide charts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you got to be, as a driver, you have to be looking at the track, watching it change, because it'll change, you know, numerous times from one heat race to the next heat race, and you might have a good car in qualifying and go out there for the heat race, and the track's slicked off, and you'll get from the front to the back in a hurry.
I mean, in a hurry, and that's the other thing, man. Like I was saying before, I would look down and say, Tyler, where are you from? And by the time I found out where you were from, dude, you'd be freight trained, and then you'd come back, and I'd be like, dadgum, man, he was way back in the field. I mean, you guys are able, it seems like I said, an asphalt racing, dude, the guy racing 12th, he's not coming back to win the race. I mean, he can finish top five maybe, but come on, he's not coming back. But in dirt racing, that really doesn't apply.
No, I mean, some guys, they'll choose a harder tire, and they'll just lay back for the, you know, the first half of the race, and whenever they see the halfway, they'll turn it on, and they'll come to the front.
I mean, they fly out of that at East Bay. They would come off a turn two, and it'd be like, dude, this guy hasn't lifted. You realize, oh, he hasn't lifted for the past three laps, man. He's just built up some momentum, and now he's flying. But like Jack said, I got one question for you. I've been asking everybody. So in your mind, when you see a car coming off the ground, those two tires coming off the ground, or one's that left front, or both tires, does that mean he's hooked up, or does that mean, dude, you want four tires on the ground?
Well, I mean, it's everybody's got their preferences. You know, you see a lot of guys three-wheeling, and it's harder to drive a car on three wheels than it is four. But
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get in my car, and most of the time I know what it's going to do, but if we make a lot of changes and I go out there and it picks up the left front tire, I'm just going to have to drive it like that.
And when you're driving and your car's pointed literally up in the air like a rocket ship straight up, do you look out the driver's side window?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm looking at the next turn. Whenever I'm coming off turn two, I'm looking down in three and coming off of four. You can't be if you're looking right in front of you, you're not going to have any time to adjust for what cars are going to be doing in front of you and whatnot.
It's like I said, I've sat in a regular asphalt car, and I often thought, man, I'm sitting way down in here. It's hard for me to really see where I'm going. And then I think about sitting in one of those cars and the reaction that you get when you, like you said, when you mat that thing. It's like I said, that's 800-plus horsepower, man. That's unbelievable.
So you're...
Oh, yeah. It comes in, you know, those motors, they got, you know, upwards of 850 horsepower, but they're pretty smooth once you get them going.
I guess, but, yeah, Jack, I know you had the questions.
So, when you're rolling, Tyler, you were saying you're looking down into the next corner. You're not even looking right in front of you.
Right. I mean, you know, I like to plan, you know, whenever you're coming off of turn four, you got to know if you're going to go in low, you're going to go in high in turn one. I mean, East Bay is a unique track. It's one of the few tracks that you go to where you just go in there, and you pretty much back the car in going into turn one and just throw it sideways and just hammer down on it.
I mean, y'all sling that thing in down in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes for good racing, and the fans like watching cars, you know, backing it in and then just standing on it coming off.
And they do, man. I mean, like I said, I get chill bumps, man, thinking about it. Honestly, do. And those fans, because like I said, dirt fans, they're really smart because they sit down until the end of the race, and then, dude, they can't sit down because of the excitement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the last night there on Saturday, they were racing three wide for the lead for a couple laps, and then you don't see that anywhere else.
No. You don't see that anywhere. I mean, when you say they're racing, I mean, that's lap after lap after lap. I mean, it's just they go at it, and it's all the way through the field, and everybody's got a shot to come back and you know, they get those C mains and D mains that they can come back in. So the cool thing I liked about, there was a couple things that I liked about dirt racing is if you're a real fan, whether you get your money's worth, because there's a lot of racing. I mean, it's nonstop racing. The one thing, Tyler, I didn't like is y'all never got out of your car. I didn't ever get to see your face, in other words, at track. You know, there was no driver introductions. There was no autograph signing. So I never got to see Tyler Ivey and how old you were, or I never got to see Don O'Neill or how old he was, or Billy Moyer. So a couple of things that were kind of different to me that I would have changed. But other than that, like I said, man, the show itself, it's second to none.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing about, you know, whenever there's 100 cars down there at East Bay, they got to have a curfew down there, and they just got to keep it rolling. There's no time for getting out of the car. You know, fans like to see that, you know, come down in the pits and look around, but there's just no time for that.
Yeah, it's too much.
True, you're right. Yeah, I guess that 100, over 100 cars kind of makes it.
There's way too much going on. Tyler, when you have you been over to Ocala and test? Did you get a chance to go over there and play around yet?
No, we've been pretty busy whenever they've had the open practice sessions, but I've talked to a lot of guys that have been down there, and I mean, I'm excited about it. They said it's a pretty good track and a great facility, and I'll be itching to go down there Friday.
All right, and it's obviously this leap year clash that we're having, you know, to take home the trophy from this first race back to dirt. I mean, it really is a big deal here, Tyler. As you know, I mean, I was asking you early, where do you go racing at up there west of yourself? Well, you know, down here in Ocala, as you know, I mean, they have North Florida that opened up, and that was a big deal for those guys. But here in Ocala, I mean, dude, they're coming off the chain down here, and it really is going to be an unbelievable show. So to win that, you know, to win that inaugural race, obviously, a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's been talking about, you know, have you seen Ocala? You going down there? And I really, I'm glad it worked out where I could come down here because I really didn't want to miss it.
Cool.
And so tell me a little bit about your car and your sponsors. Tell me about your chassis, your motor builder, that kind of stuff.
Well, with all my cars, I run a Barry Wright chassis, the fluorescent orange frame and the green body. And with my series car that I run down, that I've been running, I run a Byron Corey motor. And with my super late model, I got a Pro Power motor. Sponsored by my granddad. He's my big sponsor, Crowder Trucking. Roberto, Sand and Stone, and Striping by Wilder, they all helped me out.
And I did notice that in your car. Obviously, your dad's business, is it there in Tallahassee?
Yeah, it's based out of Tallahassee. It's a land clearing business. We got a couple different branches. We do roll-off containers and storm cleanup, that kind of stuff.
Big machines.
Yeah, earth, you know, movers, big bulldozers, front-end loaders.
Oh yeah. I love that, man. Demolition, my favorite thing.
Yeah,
that's on the racetrack. You can go out there and take out all your aggression, and then go to the racetrack. You feel better, you know. So there you go. But coming out of Tallahassee and coming down here to win this race once again, man. You've heard some of the people that are going to be here at the racetrack. Not a big deal for you after coming out of East Bay, but once again, it shows the power of dirt racing, man. Because these people. Once again, you know, Tyler, these people that I don't know, man, they're making the trek down here to Ocala.
Well, you know, there's definitely going to be a lot of big guys, and dirt racing is definitely growing. You got, you know, all the big guys, you know, NASCAR guys getting involved with it. It's a big thing.
And how do you feel about that, man? How do you feel about that becoming more commercialized? Are you scared about that invading into dirt racing and hurting that in any way?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think it's all going to, you know, it's a grassroots, and you can get big names in there. You know, we went down to Volusia, you know, Clint Boyer and Ryan Newman, Ken Schrader, Kenny Wallace were all down there, and that does nothing but help the sport.
Right, and that's, you know, but and that's what I was telling those Lucas guys. I said, but man, you know, you got to be a little bit concerned. It's a little bit scary because, once again, I'm afraid for the sport because it literally is that exciting that I think you're going to see an exodus from leaving different types of racing and coming over and watching this. Because it's like I said, in my world, dirt racing was kind of a small thing, and now I look at it and I think, man, as soon as people catch a wind of this, this is going to be the next greatest thing, and I think it's going to blow up. So, you know, that kind of concerns me. But other than that, I wouldn't change a thing, man. That Lucas Oil dirt late model thing, that was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those Lucas guys, they're top-notch. You know, they're nothing but nice to you. And the good thing about they had plenty of officials and everybody knew what was going on. If you had a question, you could just ask somebody. If they didn't know, they'd find out. But it was a pleasure going down there running with those guys.
Have you ran with some top-notch people? Billy Moyer, Don O'Neill, you know, all the big-name drivers were out there. That was kind of cool, obviously, to be able to race and not only meet them but race with them and win. I mean, there were some big-name drivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, whenever you can go out there and just follow one of those guys and watch how they run and then go and, you know, look at their car, and they'll be more than willing to talk to you about anything. And that's the unique thing about dirt racing is, you know, these guys are big names, but you can still go up to them and talk to them, and they'll tell you what they're doing and different stuff like that, which is different.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of, you know, hidden type stuff. I mean, they're pretty wide open about saying, hey, this worked for me, and if it'll help you at all, more power to you. But everybody seemed like they were willing to help.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, it's just, you know, dirt racing. If you get, you know, break some, you don't have a part, you can go to gas the guy next door, and he'll be more than willing to help you out. And, you know, it's super competitive when you get on the track, but in the pits, everybody's willing to help you and wants to see you race, too.
And it's got to be cool for you guys. I just got to ask you, man, there in East Bay, when everybody, can you actually see the fans standing up when you come down there? Are you looking, and once again, man, are you just so focused in, or can you see what's happening in the stands as you come out of Turn 4?
Well, I mean, whenever you go out there and make your warm-up laps, you look at the stands, and every night the stands are packed, and that just gives you a little bit more motivation to go out there and, you know, do good.
And it's going to be packed here at Ocala. I'm telling everybody, please
no doubt.
Get here early. You know, and I know you. Hopefully, I'm sure you've got the clan coming down from Tallahassee. So, you know, I'm telling everybody to get out here early. But literally, it will be standing room only. So there's going to be a lot of motivation up there. And hopefully you guys will be able to use that to pick up your first victory here to the new Ocala Speedway.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I hope all these people, they get to go down there and watch a dirt race for the first time, and I promise they'll be back to watch again.
Got that right.
That is true. I mean, it's like I said, I watched that Daytona race, and I thought, man. And not that it's not impressive, but it's like, how did you ever do this? And so, and you know, it's like I said, now I've been to the dirt race where, dude, it's nonstop. You know, there's no feeling your car out or, hey, let's ride around for 20 laps, and then we'll go. Dude, you got to get up on the wheel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, races are short, and that's what's exciting, you know. There's no time for, you know, running 50%. You got to go out there and hammer down.
I mean, you really do. You can't just go, hey, let me just see when my tires come in, then I'll really go. It's like, no, dude, you have to get up. So, well, Tyler, man, we just look forward to seeing you out there. And it was cool seeing all those big names from around the country run there at East Bay. And then it was even more cool seeing, you know, Tyler Ivey from Tallahassee being able to run right up there with them. And, I mean, in everything you drove out there, it was, like, nonstop. You had to be happy with your performance.
Oh, yeah. You know, first year coming out there running the Supers, we learned a tremendous amount. It was like a year's full of racing packed into the speed weeks with Brunswick and then going to East Bay and to Volusia. And we're looking forward to next year and to run with those guys again when they come down.
All right.
And then any other plans you got coming up? I mean, I know you guys are obviously running late models. Will y'all be running anything else? And like I said, man, you guys, y'all run so much stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be, I'll bring my modified and my late model to Ocala, and then we'll load up Friday night and head to Brunswick Saturday, and I'll run both the modified and the late model Saturday in Brunswick.
See, Jack, you got to love it, man, when a plan comes together.
Absolutely. Tyler. We look forward to seeing you on Friday, man, and wish you the best down there. And I'm sure no matter what, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys letting me come on and talk.
Yeah, man. You know, we're going to be back here in a few minutes. We're going to let you go, Tyler, because you know what? It's time for the A-Main. We got Ken Kenny, the man himself, coming on here right after you. So we'll see you Friday, man.
All right, see ya.
We'll look you up, man.
Bye.
Tyler Ivey out of Tallahassee, Florida, man. Jack, you got people lined up, man. Dirt stuff. And see, that's when you said last night, y'all said, man, you sound a little reserved. That's because the intensity is picking up.
Got that right.
It's going to peak Friday night, brother, 8 o'clock.
All right, we're going to take about a three-minute break here, and we are coming back. It is time for the feature event, and that will be Ken Kenny. And we're going to spend the rest of the show with Ken. Non-stop, and it's non-stop, so we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
we are back here, Real Racing USA, live on Tuesday night, and I'll tell you, you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen when you're getting ready for the A-Main.
The A-Main is here, man.
The A-Main is here, and our featured guest, Ken Kenny, had to make a quick pit stop before he got out onto the track. Welcome back, Ken.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir. It had a mechanical malfunction there.
The biggest race day of your life is coming.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I thought about that a lot after we talked about it. That is a fact.
So, just to start off by telling us where you are right now with this whole deal, man.
Last year I started promoting the little track down by my house, and it's the first time I've been around dirt racing in about 20 years. And, basically when I traveled around, a lot of the guys said, hey, there's no series in Florida. There's nothing for us to do that pays any money. And I heard it pretty well universally everywhere we went. And, I got to know a lot of the guys, that had the late models and the limited late models. They were driving both classes or late models and modifieds through my series. And, I got talking to them a little bit about, what I could do to help. And I had to decide, whether I wanted to drive a race car again or whether I wanted to own a race car and have somebody drive it or, what I wanted to do. And, I truly believe that, I'll give back the most to the sport by doing what I'm doing. And where we're at with the series, I promoted very heavily in Florida around the East Bay area because that was a huge glutton of cars. And I got to know most of those guys up in that area. And then I wandered up into Georgia, and I went to the National Late Models end-of-the-year summer showdown. Showdown at the coast up at Golden Isle Speedway. And I got to know a lot of those guys up in that area. And they, that's where it ballooned from there. They said if I wanted to compete, I had to come up with at least a $10,000 to win points fund. And after listening to them, that's what I did. I came up with that, and we've added a little more to the points. And, most all the races are anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 to win. We've landed some tremendous sponsors, the latest one being Pace American, the trailer company. And, they committed to us for, the Rookie of the Year. And then Bruce's Signs is the other sponsor of the Rookie of the Year deal. And, we've been adding sponsors ever since. I mean, Russell Brown Race Cars donated quite a bit of equipment for our, banquet and that type of thing. And, it's been growing ever since. I mean,
this thing grew to the point where you actually had to change the name before your first race because it was growing.
Yes, sir, absolutely. It was kind of hard to go up into Georgia and call it the Florida Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. And, that started with Golden Isles and grew over to Waycross. And we started to come up with, the Florida Georgia. And it was actually my wife. She said, hey, I don't think that's a good idea because what happens if you want to go into Alabama? And lo and behold, we ended up making a race with East Alabama Speedway. And, she was right. So we came up with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. And, I've had a lot of help with this thing. I mean, I started on my own, and, but there's probably many a night that me and Kip Brendel or Tommy Kelly, it started out me and Kip because, Tommy's driven my dirt limited late model and modified, in recent years. And, he has a lot of aspirations to still drive a car. And then about a few months back, I was looking for a tech man, and, we tried real hard to hire a man by the name of Tim Sims, who is with one of the crate series. And basically, Tommy Kelly said, well, what about me? And I said, well, I thought you wanted to drive more. And he said, well, I see this as being a lot bigger deal right now. So he kind of, stepped out of the seat for a minute to help me with this deal. So between him and, Kip, we talk probably every day for at least an hour. Sometimes me and Kip talk 2 hours. And he lives in Kentucky. And, he's probably the only one I know likes to talk more than me. And he'll talk for 2 hours straight. And he's in a different time zone than me, so he's got a big leg up on me.
Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, yeah, real quick, Ken. This is Scott McAllister sitting in for Rick Angie tonight here on Racing Radio. Just couple of quick questions. I went over to your website, and obviously we had some questions about some of the late models that could run over in the series here at the Ocala Speedway. If you take a moment and clarify that, if you could.
Yes, sir, absolutely. When I started this series, I wanted it to make it where any late model in Florida could run it with four motor categories originally. And, you know, that fourth motor category would have been an open motor at a higher weight. And, you know, after traveling around and, you know, a little bit of confusion, we decided against that to drop the super late model motor, you know, because we figured for every one car we pick up, we'd lose 10 national late models or crate cars. And so we settled on the crate. You know, I mean, anybody that's been to East Bay Raceway Park, they see that the crates and the 362 limited motor run head-to-head every weekend. And, you know, it's probably about 50-50, you know, the crate motors and what they know as the East Bay motor. And, you know, and then I've seen a lot of national late model. Ryan Mitchell is a perfect example. You know, he's going to run for Rookie of the Year, and he runs a national late model motor there on a regular basis. His father was telling me they may not have time to take their crate motor out this week, even they're going to take their crate motor to Ocala. But long story short, I've seen the three motors run together, and there was a lot of discussion. I think that was one of the most controversial things was between the National 8 model motor and the 362 limited motor. And what we ended up doing, we added a little more weight to the East Bay motor or the 362 motor, you know, than what
that was 50 pounds, right?
50 pounds, 20 of it, 25 of it up front in front of the motor plate. So, you know, that put a little more up front. And the National 8 Mile guys seem to be real happy with that now.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, I saw that on there. Once again, I just want to be able to clarify that. And then the other thing that when I go over to your website, the first thing I have to take a look at, and once again, you have to excuse my ignorance, as I've been saying all night long. Tell me about this gentleman named Doodle Pickens, because, man, my wife and I looked at that. We busted out laughing. But, hey, you know, it's just a name. Hey, over here in the dirt side, everybody's got a nickname. But this is really a person, Doodle Pickens. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Doodle Pipkin. See, I thought his name was Doodle Pickens at first. And it's
I did, too. Okay.
It's Doodle Pipkin, P-I-P-K-N.
Okay.
And if you look at his machinery on the thing, it's no joke. I mean, he's got an awesome car. He's a top-10 contender always, you know. And
I mean, he's got a nice piece to look. He's got a really nice-looking piece on there.
Yes, sir. No, that is definitely his name. And I talked to him up there, again, at Brunswick a couple times, and he ended up contacting me, and he was full of excitement. He said, I'm definitely going to run the series, and, you know, I want to run the whole deal. And, you know, he's got a crate motor in the car, but he's running crate motors against the, you know, the national late models right there at Brunswick where it's super fast. And he's a real nice guy to talk to, real nice guy. You know what? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know you've been working really hard with Mike Peters. You know, obviously, you know, Jack and I wanted to do this show, obviously, about dirt racing in general, and then, of course, obviously, about the first race back here at Ocala on dirt. I know you and Mike have worked together, and you've seen Mike, you know, during this transition. Tell me how that's worked for you and that relationship.
Sure. Mike Peters, first of all, I mean, I love Angie, first of all, his fiance, but Mike has been a workhorse and an awesome gentleman. I mean, you know, we pounded it today on the telephone probably 8 or 10 times. At the end of the day, I called him up. I said, you tired yet? And he laughed, and he called me this morning and asked me, hey, you all right? Because, you know, here's what happened. I heard the track was going to go to dirt, and I called him before it even came public, and I asked him if I could have the Powell Memorial, and he went, I got to think about that. And that's how it started. I wanted the Powell Memorial, just like I wanted the Ponce de Leon race. I mean, I want all the top dirt races in Florida that, you know, don't have an affiliation with the series. I wanted to make them part of my series. And
sure,
I pretty much figured what I could give them in return was a guaranteed big car count, you know, and Mike went along with that. And then a couple months later, and this was a real challenge, Kip was down here for my end-of-the-year deal over in New Henry County Speedway. And, you know, they had the track prep great. I had guys that had been there during the summer that were disappointed that said, look, you know, we read the place wrong. It was really manicured good. And, you know, they said they'd come back, and they really enjoyed it. But I felt like Ocala, being a new surface, was about as fair as you could humanly get for the guys from Georgia and the guys from Florida, because nobody had raced on that track, you know, in years on dirt, and it was a neutral location, you know. And I asked Mike about it. It took him a while. He got back with me about 3 weeks, and he said, and I want to clear something up on the air. This is important to me. You know, I've had people complain that we're not qualifying. We're not qualifying because that was part of my agreement with Mike Peters. He said, you know, this is my grand opening. There's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance here, and there's a lot of, you know, I want to get the people in. They're my customers, and I want them to have a great time and be on the road by 11:30 or so. And I don't know that he's going to manage that with the car count that we've got. But, you know, definitely, you know, part of our agreement was that we would run heat races rather than qualify because he didn't know what the track would do. And the other thing was that we'd cut the lap count down to 30 laps, which we met him halfway between 50 and 40, you know, at 40.
Yeah, right.
And but anyway, he's been wonderful. He can't get any better than Mike Peters.
Well, you know, and that's it, and that is true. And that was part of the deal. I was talking about dirt racing earlier. I said, you know, at East Bay, I was, you know, honored to, they had me down there to do the Winter Nationals, so I got indoctrinated down there. But I said, man, nobody ever got out of the car. And obviously, you know, Mike has done a lot of work here in the community as far as bringing the community in here, not only race car drivers and race fans, but the community in general, to a new track. And, you know, it's a new deal, and that's kind of the way he's trying to promote this, and it is. And it is a new deal, even though it's been this way for many, many, many years. But for the last 10 years, it hasn't been this way. And, you know, my thing is, if you haven't been to a dirt race, man, what a great track, what a great opportunity. And then on top of that, you throw you guys' series coming in and the names that you have affiliated with it, it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I can't, you know, I could talk a lot about it. I mean, obviously, and I have put a lot of hours in, I'll be honest with you. I've had some real candid conversations with people. You know, one of the big things in short track racing now is everybody's got a tire deal and everybody's getting paid. And again, publicly on air, that's not the facts with me. I have no affiliation as far as, you know, getting paid per tire or per this or per that. I listen to all the racers, and I drew the line where I thought the majority of the cars, you know, from the majority of the tracks were. And, you know, I went with the tire combination I did. And, you know, both tire companies contributed to my points fund, but that was the extent of it, you know. And, you know, I'm kind of proud of that, too, because I don't have anybody leading me around the nose, by the nose. You know, we're partners in the deal, but yet, you know, we've made the rules, and we're going to live with the rules and, you know, and enforce them. And
that's the main thing, is just sticking by whatever rules you have. I mean, everybody has agreed to the rules. When they come in, they put their car on the track, that means they've agreed to it. And the same way down at East Bay, you know, when somebody's muffler came off, I heard Todd every single night say, the one thing you have to do is you got to have a muffler on here. And if it falls off, I don't care. I'm sorry about your luck. And, you know, and that indeed did happen, and it fell off. And, he had to say, I'm sorry. But when you put your car there in the track, you've agreed to, you know, to race by those rules. And that's as long as you can stick to them, I know that's the most important thing.
And Ken, you know, obviously anybody who's in the promotion game, regardless of what kind of promotion, it takes a special blend of talents to be successful at it. And in racing, that's obviously, anybody that knows anything about this game knows that good promoters really, there's a lot of people out there promoting, but to be successful over a long period of time takes a very special set of talents. Like, how did you get to this point? Like, what are the big influences in your life that got you in a position where you have the ability to handle the politics, the ability to handle the drive and the energy and being positive? Who has been the big influences in your life that got you into this game?
To be very honest with you, my father and mother, although they've never been, you know, they didn't own a business. My father started carrying me to the racetrack at Orange County Speedway in Middletown, New York, in a baby carriage. That, Flemington, Nazareth, all up through there. I moved to Florida in 1973, right after I sat in Buzzy Ruderman's car when he won the Eastern States 200 when I was probably 8 years old. And but my parents, my dad getting me to the races. Now, as far as, you know, trying to be a leader and, you know, put things together, I don't know, man. I've always been involved. I mean, I was involved in every type of sport, so I thank a lot of my coaches. You know, I mean, I put it back even to athletics. You know, I had some great football coaches, baseball coaches. I went into played sports in college, you know, and a lot of discipline came from that. And, you know, and then I got into business at a young age. I mean, I've been in the mobile home business since I was 20 years old, and I want to say I was in my mid-20s when I started my own dealership. And, you know, the mobile home business is kind of a rough racket like a lot of other businesses. I mean, it's a lot involved, and there is, again, you're dealing with a lot of people, building departments, county government. And I want to say my business and my athletic background, you know, and my father and mother, you know, that's really, you know, what drove me in this deal. And honestly, I don't know. I told my wife, we were talking the other day. She said, you know, we'd have it easy right now if we didn't, you know, we hadn't have started the series right now. And don't get me wrong, she enjoys it. She likes going to racing and hanging out with the girls and stuff. But there's something inside of me that's got to be a part of something big, no matter what I'm doing. Whether, I mean, I've had traveling softball teams that traveled all over the country. It's something that drives me, and I get bored really easy if I'm not doing something, you know, business. It's kind of my getaway. But I've always got to have something going on the side. Whether it's, you know, even prior to that, I coached kids for years, and I coached 3 basketball teams, and they'd get on me, man, you sure you want to coach 3 teams? It was just, it's my style to try to make something big and try to make something great, you know, and I really...
You got to be right at home here, man. Race car drivers and kids, this is about the same thing.
You know what's funny? You know, I've learned that side of it. Mike Peters said to me today, he said, I bet you were a race car driver that showed up at the track and really didn't say that much, didn't give nobody a hard time, raced, and went home. And I said, you know, that was pretty much it most of the time, probably 90% of the time or better. That is, I went there, relaxed, raced, and went home. And I have seen a different side of it a little bit. I mean, you know, I thought softball players was the most controversial thing. And, you know, race car drivers like to talk racing all day long, every day, 7 days a week. So, I've gotten an earful, you know. And I tell you the other thing that's kind of neat on this series, too, not to change the subject, but this asphalt race is really something neat. I showed up at Charlotte County Speedway. I want to say I was around 24 years old. Somewhere between 24 and 27, that range. And I showed up, and I'd never driven a race car in my life. And I went up there, and I said, man, I'm going to get me a race car because I can finally afford one. And I bought a race car, and sure enough, you know, the third race of the year, I was there racing when a points deal started. And that was the first time I'd ever been on a racetrack. And one of the next most controversial thing other than the motors is the, you know, asphalt race at Charlotte County Speedway. And It really has. I mean, a lot of guys have come up and said, man, you know what you got to do to make me run this points deal, because some guys are, you know, just not gung-ho about running on asphalt. And a lot of it is the makeup of the cars. You know, they're not the stock front clip car that can take a beating anymore. They're, you know, and that's what they're concerned about. But, you know, I committed to Bobby to do this race, and, you know, that's where I'm going to do it. But that's kind of why I stuck with one asphalt race, because it is very controversial.
Is that the last race?
I mean, is it the last race of the year?
No, sir, it's not. It actually falls near the middle of the year. I want
to say,
you know, the middle of the year. But, you know, here's the way I looked at that, too. I mean, whether it's NASCAR or go-kart racing or whatever, from kids right up to the best of the best, if you want to be the champion, you know, you've got to be able to adapt and run on all things. And, you know, there might be some guys that don't run that deal, but, you know, I talked to a lot of the top guys and a lot of the young guns and asked them what they thought about it, and, you know, they were gung-ho to go. It didn't matter to them. So I feel like a champion that can go to Georgia, go to Alabama, go down and race on the baseball-type clay that they have in Clewiston, and then go to Waycross, Georgia, and race on an oil-based dirt track that's as close to asphalt as you can get, and then race on an asphalt track. I figured that's going to be a true champion when we're done with this thing, you know.
I have to say, you know, you have to really believe in your series, because obviously it's kind of like the ARCA deal in reverse.
Absolutely.
One dirt race.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean, I have to say, I know a lot of people that just already count themselves out as far as that race, because obviously, but they do have to, that's a whole different car that they take. And obviously, like I said, how is it going to work down there? Are they literally going to bring that exact car, Ken? Is that how they're going to do it?
Yes, sir. They're going to, you know, there'll be some messing with the suspension. They'll race different tires. They'll lock some things down. But, you know, they're going to bring those cars. My knowledge of it is I went to Auburndale Speedway years ago, and a man by the name of Garvey, his last name was Garvey. I can't remember his first name. I can't remember where he came from. But he came there, and they were racing two nights in a row, and he kicked their butt so bad on Friday, they paid him. But everybody was complaining. A lot of the big-time boys from the ASA up north and a lot of guys, they were complaining so bad, the promoter said, I'm going to go ahead and pay you, but don't come back tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, don't ever come back.
Yes, sir, because from what I understand, these dirt late models, when they're hooked up on asphalt, are actually faster than the asphalt late models. I mean, I've got to see it, you know, with my own eyes to believe it, but it's what I understand.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can see once you did get them hooked up, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I really have no idea. Like you said, it's obviously something to come in and see, that's for sure. And then Bobby, once again, Jack, as you talked about promoters, man, Bobby definitely at the top of the list as far as that goes. So.
Well, willing to take a chance anyway, you know, and that's what you got to do, isn't that? Isn't that part of it? I mean, one of the things about the promoters that, and I've been aware of promoters in, like you talked about, baseball and other sports and stuff. And, you know, I, too, have followed other sports all my life and been involved in other sports besides racing. And a lot of times you can make comparisons and whatnot. But recently I've been studying a lot about some of the promoters from the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s in racing. And there's no doubt. You have to be a gambler.
Yes, sir. I believe you're correct. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I've been blessed. You know, God's blessed me with a good job and a good, you know, of course, the housing market's down right now, but over the years, I can't complain. I mean, you know, I've worked hard. Now, don't get me wrong. I've worked many a 7 days a week. I just took my daughter, my oldest daughter, Brittany, to go pick out her class ring, and I'm going back home. And when she goes to bed, I'm going back to work as soon as I say goodnight to the other two and my wife, and I'll probably work till 2, 3 in the morning. That's a fact. People that know me are probably smiling somewhere because they know that's true. They can call me from a night job, and I'm awake, but that's just the way I tick. And, you know, I threw that $10,000 to win out there with really I had no sponsor other than my own businesses at the time.
That's scary. That's scary.
Yes, it is. But, you know, what's really comical and what I love about this thing, there's been people from all over the racing world on dirt that have asked people that raced my deal last year. They said, will this guy come through? I mean, can you count on him? And that's one thing I'm very proud of. You know, Sean Smith, Roger Krause, Keith Nosvish. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, Marshall Austin, Jeff Conyers, one after another has told these people, yes, he's going to come through, which is a fact. I mean, I can tell you, whatever's on that piece of paper, I'm going to come through with, and, you know, they're not going to leave, you know, with me not living up to my word. That I guarantee you.
Well, that means a lot to these drivers, you know, and obviously, like I say, sticking to the rules and just doing what you say you're going to do, that is, you know, you've beaten 80% of the people out there. So I think it's a great deal. You guys have obviously come together at the right time. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you see dirt racing. Obviously, there's been an... To me, there's almost been a revolution. I'm almost like an awakening has gone on for me. And it's like I said, now I look back and think, man, how did I ever do the other?
Yeah, Ken, I got it. Let me stick my two cents in here. This guy, Scott McAllister, a year ago, we were talking about this stuff all the time. A year ago, he wanted nothing to do with dirt. Now he's announcing it, East Bay on Saturday, Ocala on Friday. He's all about dirt. Go figure.
And I'm telling you, it's like I told him the other night, I am ate up with it. And it's like I said, not that there's anything wrong, because I'm sure I'll go back. But I looked at that Daytona race and I thought, how did I ever watch this for hours and hours and hours of this? I don't know how I ever did it.
You know, obviously I'm an asphalt guy too. You know, I started going to dirt as a kid, and you know, I am an asphalt person. I mean, I've been to every asphalt track in the Southeast. And when I walked away from racing for about 4 years because, again, I had other loves, and I really, really, really wanted to finish out playing a little competitive softball, and I played some Roy Hobbs baseball, just things I wanted to do, you know, and I wanted to spend some time with my daughter and my family, you know. And but long story short, the time I was away, because the last year I raced that Jackaroo Sportsman Series, and we traveled all over, you know, with my car. We raced a little bit everywhere.
That was a good series, too, man. That was a good series back then.
I enjoyed it. It was a tough series. I mean, I made all the races, but it was tough. I mean, I tell you that, very tough. And I was probably a mid-marker car, but I had a great time, and it was a very competitive series. And but long story short, you know, again, same thing with this Clifton track. There's so many things that have come to mind. I mean, one of my childhood guys that I used to see win all the time back north was Will Cagle. And I seen Will Cagle at Run at East Bay, and my dad said, look at him, watch him. And he had everybody covered till he got a flat tire. And then the Clifton track, that track, my father spread water on that track when I was a young teenager. And, you know, we went out there to race with a lot of guys and, you know, a lot of the old-timers around my area in Clifton, LaBelle, Okeechobee, you know, they ran that track. And, you know, I tried to honor some of those guys, you know. But long story short, when they opened that track, I went back out there and I literally got hooked on the dirt. And then I started traveling and, you know, I don't know, man. I said, the dirt is just so exciting, you know. And asphalt to me, I mean, I still love a lot of the guys. I mean, when I go, it's like I was never away. When I went to Charlotte County, I was hanging out with Ron Regula and so a lot of the guys from Hialeah I raced with and, yeah. You know, different ones. And Joe Winchell, you know, different ones that I raced against. And but long story short, man, I was watching big races with 12 and 13 cars run around for 50 laps, nose to tail, and the only way they could pass is if somebody rooted somebody out of the way. And I just, you know, Bobby put a lot of excitement in it because he brought the tried to bring quite a few classes together. And, you know, but other than that, I don't know, man. I've been a little bored with it lately.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of it it comes down to, you know, a lot of asphalt late model races. They're somewhat like one run shutouts. You know, like where a baseball game goes like, and you get one run scored. Or you know, some people like those games, but lots of fans these days they want home runs. And I think the excitement of that is prevalent there on the dirt late models and sprint cars and so forth, because there is so much passing, there is so much activity, there's so much sensory stuff going on that I think that really is, like Scott said, I think it's coming more into its own now than maybe it was in the past even, because I think it's hitting the nature of us, you know, and our society that we're in here today.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I'll tell you, you know, Wayne Anderson for one, you know, of course Richard Pratt will be running this weekend, you know, Friday, he'll be competing in a race. And but, you know, Wayne and a lot of these guys, there's been a lot of other guys I've heard lately throw their names in the hat that they're going to get a dirt late model. I mean, I've heard it a lot lately.
Well, of course, Mike Bresnahan went out and got him once, so he'll be over at Ocala and running, of course, I'm sure on Saturday night somewhere. And then, like you said, Wayne got one, and we're looking forward to see Jeff Choquette bring his piece out there. And, you know, it's been a long time since Ivan and Lloyd has been back over to Ocala. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. And so that was what I was going to ask you about is, man, some of the names you got in your series, I know, you've been doing it, but still, now all of a sudden, once again, and it's just maybe I'm just becoming aware, but, man, you got some names in the series kicking this thing off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got a lot of the, you know, the names you mentioned. And then, I mean, you know, David Smosh joined the series the other day, and David's won quite a few championships at East Bay. He's the most recent points championship, you know, champion winner. And, you know, both the Nosvishes, you know, I mean, Roger Krause has won I don't know how many championships.
Jeff Matthews,
yeah, he contacted me. I contacted Jeff today to ask him if he's going to be there. He said, absolutely. And then, from what I understand, Noble, he's going to be a tough customer. And, I'll be honest with you, there's no clear-cut favorite. I mean, you know, Sean Smith's a tough customer. Brett Carlton from down my way. Richard Wheelahan, you know, ran some Southern All-Star races. There's some names that I know of that, like Tyler Ivey, I don't know. I think you guys had him on earlier, maybe?
Yes.
Yep, man, we talked to him earlier.
Man, Tyler's as good as you get. And there's quite a few other guys contacted me. Cone is really tough. I talked to his dad, Gary Cone, today, and he's going to be real tough this weekend. There's a lot of guys, you know, they told me, you know, we're not coming just to race. I mean, everybody says that, but there's a lot of these guys truly believe they can win, you know. And, you know, Shane Williams.
And it's going to be a big deal there, that first race at Ocala, as we talked about. I mean, Mike's been working hard. First of all, the place is going to be packed. I mean, it's going to be packed with people and with fans, not just, you know, filling up the backside with pit members, this is going to be packed to the gills with fans. And then, you, like I said, you guys are going to be showing up there. It's going to be a heck of a show. I mean, this is whoever wins this, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I made a comment today, and I really believe this to be true. I told Mike Peters, I said, Mike Peters, this is going to be the biggest dirt late model event for a 3,000-win race ever in Florida.
I mean, I agree. I have to say that, I mean, you have people, like you said, I bet your phone is ringing off the hook.
It, to be very honest, and this is just being honest, that's why I'm going to work all night tonight, because on my my dealership, I was fielding so many calls that I actually went home, and I've been working at home. I'm going to work at home tomorrow. I worked at home today, and I spent probably 80% of my time on the, you know, on the phone. And it was with drivers. It was with Mike. It was with media. I mean, because keep in mind, I've got another race 8 days later at New Henry County Speedway, and you can't wait to Monday morning to start writing articles for that big race for the second one. So I'm steady on the radio and media and different things down here, working on the second one as the first one is about to take place. And, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about all these guys we talked about. I mean, we've got almost every track champion in the area coming. I mean, Billy Costello's the North Florida Speedway champion. He'll be there. You know, there's just one after another. Al Larson, unfortunately, I think he's going to be there. I don't know what his condition is going to be. He barrel rolled his car there at Ocala practice, but he won, you know, the Putnam Points Championship this year, and I know that was a big setback for him.
And I know we won't mention any names, and I know promoters and series owners, but I'm here to tell you there could be some national names there as well. So, I mean, I think it's just really important that people know that they want to get out there and they want
get
to
there early.
Get there early. I mean, I can't say it enough. Please get there early because it will be packed in there. And the cool thing about it is it's right off I-75. Easy to get to.
You know, I want to run one thing by you, too, and I agree with that 100% because it's a beautiful facility. He's done an awesome job, but the pits are, you know, they do get a little tight, you know, and all those big rigs there at one time. You know, obviously, you know, this is probably going to be the most big rigs that have possibly ever been to Ocala Speedway because you figure when it was dirt before, you didn't have as many people that had 40 and 45-foot trailers, 44-foot trailers, you know, back
right.
then. So, you know, I got some calls about that today. And
I don't doubt that it's going to be packed in the pits and overflowing.
Yeah, yes,
which
sir.
Which is a good problem to have. That's a good
Absolutely.
Problem to have, man.
No,
we've been the other way, and once again, Ken, as you alluded to, in the asphalt side, oh no, there's always plenty of room back there. But when you, all of a sudden you start talking about, you know, 50, 60 cars coming in and big haulers, it feels like quick.
And Ken, on Thursday, we're going to start promoting around the country on other websites and message boards and so forth. Around the country about the broadcast from the track and from Real Racing USA. And so hopefully we can get a lot of people around the country keying into that whole deal.
We're going to get Rick Angies better so when he gets down there, once again.
Yeah, he'll be better. He'll be all right. He'll be all right.
I think he's going to come down regardless, I think, unless he, you know, has to drag the nurse.
Yeah, Ken's already twisted his arm. I'm sure he'll be there.
Yeah. You know, there's one other thing I want to mention to you, too. You know, one big thing that was pounded in my head by fans, I don't want to say so much racetrack owners, promoters, or even drivers, but what was put in my mind was that at the last two asphalt races I went to, the fastest cars was in the front right off the bat, and they checked out.
Yep.
You know, and... my series, what we do is we draw from the heat race winners and sometime first and second place. Now, in this particular event, I'm definitely throwing a bone to the guys that went, you know, that win the heat races because I believe we could have 5, 6, 7 heat races. So I don't want to bury a guy 14th for winning the first heat. But what the plan is, sorry, give me one. Okay, what the plan is here is to draw the pills right on the front straightaway in front of the fans so they can build the excitement to see who starts on the pole, second through whatever the heat races are, you know, for the winners of the heat race, you know, so that way automatically, you know, we're going to shuffle the deck a little bit.
That's a cool thing about dirt racing, man, is that, hey, they don't mind starting in the back. I mean, you don't even get paid double points or double money. They just start in the back, brother. They don't have a problem.
Well, look, who was that at East Bay on the last night when Billy Moyer won? But didn't Pearson, wasn't that Earl Pearson that came from almost dead last to take second?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they do it all the time, and, you know, that's what I mean. When you come here to Ocala, we don't know that there's that unknown that's going to be out there. But, man, I'm here to tell you, the dirt racing in general, and I expect to see this on Friday night, it's going to come down to the final turn and the final last lap, final turn coming out of turn four. You're going to see them cars sideways, and I bet you they're going to be three wide, just like it was over at East Bay. And you're right, Jack. I mean, it was Earl Pearson Jr. He came from the back flying with, like, four laps to go, flying to the field.
You know, that's my hopes. My hopes are, you know, because, again, you know, I'm doing this deal because I love racing, just like you guys are doing this radio program tonight. You know, racing was my first love out of a baby carriage. I mean, from racing little matchbox cars around the living room and drawing paper cars. I mean, that's been my deal my whole life, other than, you know, when I was, you know, involved with some other sports. But the majority has always been racing. And I want to see the fans have a great time. I want to see the drivers have a great time. I mean, you know, obviously there's going to be some guys that have some really good days Friday, and there's going to be some guys that have a bad day Friday. You know, I just want to make, like you said, keep the rules even, give them the best opportunity to have a fair start. And, you know, Mike's definitely put a lot of time in the facility, and I just want to make it a really exciting thing. I want it to be, when people walk away from there, they remember this race, you know?
Well, but believe me, the excitement will be there.
Yeah, no doubt.
The excitement be there. I mean, the excitement is there now, and it's raining here, and the excitement's still here. Now, you know, and that's a cool thing. We've already looked at the weather. The weather looks is going to be great. So, you know, yeah, the excitement is going to be overflowing at Ocala Speedway on Friday night. And this leap year, you know, event is just going to be one that you definitely want to be a part of.
And we've been talking here for the last 45 minutes or so with Ken Kenny. And if you tuned in late, of course, this whole deal, this whole show, like all the other shows on Real Racing USA, will be available in our archives later tonight, and you can listen to it, download it to an iPod or whatever. And Ken's covered a lot of territory tonight, and I really appreciate it. Final thoughts, Ken, as you get ready for your biggest racing day of your life?
Yes, sir. I just hope anybody that's on the fence, you know, whether they're going to come or not, or, you know, can get off a little bit earlier work, or, you know, they've got some extra work to do Friday, I'm just hoping they set it aside and come out there and be a part of history, because this truly is going to be a historic event, you know, at Ocala Speedway. And again, I'd like to thank right now you guys, the drivers, the crews, the fans, you know, in advance. You know, you're right. Again, I've had a lot of anxiety the last 2 days because it's really starting to get to me. But I just want everybody to come out and have a fantastic time. And
Man, when you're out there and they're frustrated, and there's this car out there, and you've got an awesome night of racing, holy smoke, man, it's going to be so worth it. I am getting so jacked up right now, man. It is, believe me, it will be so worth it, and you will have this feeling of euphoria come over you when you see those cars out there. It's going to be a feeling like you've never had.
And I'll tell you one last thing as I let you go. I really believe that there's going to be a huge amount of cars that are not even on that list. I really believe that. Kip's had a ton of calls, and I said, Kip, you got to start getting the names, because there's one guy calling from somewhere, said he was bringing two cars, and we don't even know who he is. So, you know, I think it's going to be so exciting, you know, just terribly exciting for everybody.
All right, Ken.
You'll be up on the chipper, as you know, as we sit here to tell you, be rear riding, baby, here at Ocala Speedway.
Now, we know you're going to be up all night working, but get rested up a little bit before Friday, man. You want to enjoy every minute of this one.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very, very much, man.
All right, Ken. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care,
Kenny, man. Kenny right here on Real Racing USA. Yeah, Jack, you think you'll get any sleep for the next 36 hours? He's pretty.
Yeah, that's not bad for an A-main, huh?
Jeez, man, what a show. Holy smoke. This whole thing, man, the Ocala Speedway deal is just going to be, just the whole thing is really cool. I'm happy for Mike. I'm happy for myself. I'm happy for everybody here in the, you know, that goes to the racetrack here in Ocala that, well, Scott, that wants to race here. It's just going to be a great night and a great year.
Scott, it's amazing. You know, as we alluded to a few times, we joked about, Scott McAllister not really being much into dirt or all. We've joked about that a few times during the show, and it's just amazing when you look at the confluence of events that have come together, the things that have all come together. It started 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, you know, 2-3 years ago, Ken Kenny wasn't even anybody's. He wasn't on the map here with being a promoter, really. And, and you weren't involved in dirt. Mike Peters had just bought a racetrack and was trying to figure out how to make it work. And, you know, of course, the Armstrongs, like B.J. Cavan said, and it's a very good point to make, there was a lot of things that went behind that. They came in there. They took Ocala Speedway and put a ton of money into it and really fixed up the facility big time. Mike came in and Angie and put some finishing touches on it, and he went out and he saw that there was something that was wrong with this picture. He went out and he studied the racing scene in detail and meticulously really studied what was going on in the racing deal and came up with, we need to go back to where we came from. And
I think that's what I mean. What I like to say, you mean it's just a leap of faith that he's taken. He's put obviously money and you know, the most important thing, he's put time, because you can't get that back. He's put a lot of time into it. So when you come out to this track, it's going to be, you know, especially this first night, madness. It will be a madness, and it's a circus every single night. But this initial night, like I said, I think that literally they're going to have more cars than what they thought. So, you know, you just want to kind of give these guys a break, and once again, Ken Kenny and those guys, they've been working so hard, and to put on a good show here. So I just think it's going to be a great night. And, yeah, what a leap of faith Mike had to take. Mike and Angie both had to take and go with their instincts, and they came up with a comprehensive plan, and they're going to see it through.
Absolutely. And, Scott, I really appreciate you coming in here and taking over with Rick Angie's being out tonight, man. And as always, it's always fun. And you know what? I told the guys, man, we got to go back and do some of them live shows, because that was I think it's time for us to get back out there and do some of those shows live again like we used to.
I agree, man. It's always fun. And, hey, having me on this week will guarantee your ratings will go up.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt, man.
Next week when Rick comes back, they'll be like, oh, thank goodness. That guy's not on anymore. But, no, hey, it's been a real, as always, been an honor. Tell Rick I hope he gets better. Tell all the gang down there I hope everybody recovers from their illness. We're looking forward to seeing Cece up here, as well as, of course, the rest of the gang from down there. And, we'll see you guys Friday. And once again, get here early, or, you know, you're going to risk not getting a seat. Believe me, it's like I say, Mike said he won't turn anybody away, but it the fire marshal is going to have something to say about that sooner or later, so I don't know. Just get there early, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys, and thanks for having me on Wheel Racing USA.
Yeah, and to tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we have Straight Lining with Stevie. That's a drag racing show on 8 o'clock.
Oh, and, no, man, yeah.
Yeah, guys, Stevie's one of the best drag racing announcers in the country. And he's one of the top guys out there doing this. And he does that show. Then we have the ASA Late Model Show. And I got to say, just before we get out of here, man, a lot of the music that we play on all of the Real Racing USA shows, a lot of the music comes from a guy named Dan Toler. And he's one of America's very best guitar players, dantoler.com. And we really appreciate him allowing us to use his music. And they do have a new album out that he and some of the guys from the past got together, and it's Brothers of the Southland, old Southern Rock guys got together and put together a CD. You can go over to MySpace and find all that stuff over there. But Dan Toler, thank you, man.
He really is one of the world's, I mean, literally, he's one of the world's best.
Oh, yeah, and no doubt.
He's smoking, man. He's smoking. And, hey, real quick, I just want to let you know, hey, Dennis, this is for you, bud. So, once again, we're thinking about those guys. And, man, come on out. Ocala Speedway is going to be a blast. We look forward to seeing everybody out there.
All right. Good night, folks.
Your hand on the dirt. Love you standing behind. Throw down your bed. Don't let your confidence find you. It's too much at stake. like a runaway train, there's no return. With an ace up your sleeve and a gun in your hand, forget all you read, how the legend began.
Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down.